Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. You rarely see live-action scripted series become tuned for a night. That's an extremely rare circumstance, and that's exactly the case tomorrow night on Pop TV when the acclaimed revival of One Day at a Time goes animated. We'll hear the executive producer, Brett Miller, when he joins me next. Also ahead, are we on track for a virtual Emmy Awards? The Sinner stays on USA, and we celebrate the return of our classic trivia question of the week. Stand by, you might win a prize for it. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow we televise, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get three of them when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon, the Ides of June 2020, for the program all about TV's current and future state. 72 degrees, top of the hour here in New York. We've got wonderful guests coming your way in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and get interactive with us at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway, or catch us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. If you're shy about the phone, no problem with us, because we got chat room business for you. It's Simon Apple 04 by name, that's the name of the room, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room, either way, you're involved. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions to other people who will be live with you. Brett Miller from One Day at a Time, special tune episode tomorrow on Pop TV, joins us live from California after these news notes. The clock is ticking for the Television Academy to decide if this year's Primetime Emmy Awards, scheduled for September 28th on ABC, will be live or virtual in your living room. Talks on that situation continue, and at this hour, one thing is abundantly clear. The Creative Arts Emmy Ceremony, which presents the bulk of the Primetime Emmy Awards the week before, will be virtual, and there's no set date or dates yet. Another certainty you can definitely take to the bank, no post-governor's ball for either ceremony. Another victim of the coronavirus pandemic. Academy officials label the cancellation a precautionary measure for health and safety reasons. We'll keep you posted on what the Emmy Awards people do. And by the way, the Emmy Awards ceremony is September 20th. That's September 20th on ABC. Current fourth season of The Sinner on USA Network next year. Bo Pullman will be back as Detective Harry Ambrose in this wide gun adventure, co-executive produced by Jessica Biel, who was the star of the first season several years ago. Also earlier today, USA greenlighted a pair of unscripted series, Instant Family, dealing with a married couple that takes on three homeless women, and The Rev, featuring Long Island-based pastor Richard Hartley. Now some quickies. Season 3 of Search Party begins on HBO Max next Thursday. Univision will unveil its 2020-21 Spanish-language lineup tomorrow afternoon. And actress Jessica Chastain is working with Endeavor Content to develop a mystery miniseries from upcoming novel His and Hers by Alice Feeney. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Palm Desert, California, the executive producer of One Day at a Time, who works directly with someone who was on this program several years ago and one of the highlights of this program in yours truly's career in television, Norman Lear, Brent Miller. Brent, thank you for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. And thank Norman again for what was really one of the great highlights of this program and personally in my career covering television over the last 40 years. It was great to have him. We would love to have him back anytime.
I'm sure he'd love to be back.
So how did this tune episode of One Day at a Time come together?
You know, it's kind of, we unfortunately were among a handful of, or several, I should say, productions that got shut down in the middle of this pandemic. We were only halfway through. We had 6 episodes. And as we were all coming together to figure out how we're going to move forward with, at the very least, showing a 7th episode, we thought, you know, let's take advantage of this time. Let's take advantage of animation. And there was this company that I was introduced to that is in Toronto, Canada, Smiley Guy Studios, and specifically a gentleman, the executive producer named Jonas Diamond, who basically explained to me that in animation, you know, they're all able to keep working because they had 80-plus employees all working remotely. And so we said, hey, have you ever explored taking a live-action show, and could you do it in this timeline that we have, which normally something like what we've pulled off would take about 24 to 26 weeks, and we were able to do it in 8. So he gladly took on the challenge, and here we are, and we are so excited about this episode. It really is one of my personal favorites of all 4 seasons, and I think it's ripe for the times we're living, as well as, just a good throwback to not only what Norman Lear is all about in having conversations that are relevant to the times we're living, but it's also a modern-day take by putting this spin of animation into it and giving our fans more of what they were hoping for and allowing us to be able to employ people when many people have been laid off.
I want to welcome Rick Webb from Philadelphia into our chat room. It's his birthday today, by the way. So, Rick, happy birthday. Welcome into the room. If you have a question or comment for Brent, put it in the room and make the call, 646-652-2906. Now, when the decision was made to do this animated episode, did you have a script ready? Did your fellow creative executives, Gory Calderon Keller and Mike Royce, have something in the hopper? Or was it something that you had to really pull together from scratch?
No, they are amazing showrunners, the two of them, and they're very efficient with their time and with all of the writers' time. And they had this episode written. It was actually slated to play later in the season. And when looking through those 6 or 7 episodes that we had written but had not yet been able to produce, this felt like it lent itself most to animation. There were some things in it, as you'll see tomorrow night, that really made it, again, just very accessible to animating, and it felt like the perfect thing to do.
Explain, by the way, that you called the politics episode. Explain why it's called that and what the dynamic of the episode is.
It's basically something that I think all of us have felt or dealt with at least once in our lives, and it's when our close friends or our loved ones or our immediate family members disagree on politics. And this episode is essentially educating and highlighting on how to handle those kinds of conversations. And in particular, we have our family, our Cuban American family that lives in Los Angeles, is expecting their relatives from Miami, who tend to lean a little bit more to the right than what they do, and they're coming for a visit. And so it's basically a conversation on how all of that might unfold.
We are speaking with Brent Mayer. He's the executive producer of One Day at a Time, the popular series now in its 4th season through Pop TV. And tomorrow night, this live-action series that was originally developed by Norman Lear now goes animation with a special segment that takes place tomorrow night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on Pop TV. Brent joins us live from Palm Desert, California, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom and I'm with you live from New York on this Eyes of June Day 2020. Happy to have you with us live from New York, where it is 72 degrees at the top of the hour, and we'd love to have you participating. So whatever you're doing, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Finally, on Tomorrow Be Televised, one of our favorite journalist guests will be with us, Joan Sullivan from CNetNews.com. She's the senior reporter for technology and media. We'll get her thoughts about how the mega programming era is going now that all the players are launched from Apple TV Plus to HBO Max and Peacock, et cetera, et cetera. We'll also get a thoughts about the new fronts that are taking place here in New York virtually next week. Some very interesting players from Facebook to Snapchat to Roku to Hulu are all participating, and we'll get a thoughts about what we might expect next week when that happens. That's Joan Sullivan from CNetNews.com, Friday, 6:30 to New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Normally, an animation episode takes months to put together. How did Smiley Guy do this with the kind of schedule you're going for where they could put this together in just several months?
Well, I think they it was Smiley Guy, and it was also Big Jump. And the two of them came together, and they, you know, they had a great team of people that they were able to reach out to, and you know, people they've depended on through the years, and you know, I think it starts at the top is my guess. I wasn't as intimately involved in the animation studio as I was, you know, talking to the person who was spearheading that on a daily basis. And we had many late night calls, late night meetings. He was on the East Coast at 11:30 p.m. My time, so 2:30 in the morning his time, still working away trying to make this timeline happen. And I think they've done, like I said, a terrific job with the limited time they had available. And all of us couldn't be prouder.
And now, is it cell animation? So what is the animation style?
The style is, I mean, it's very much the style of, I mean, if you want to simplify it, like a Family Guy. You know, it's everything that you might expect if you're going to take an anime or a live action character and turn it into 2D animation.
Mm-hmm. Now, in most animation situations, TV or film, the individual actors record at various times. You usually don't get everyone together to do it all in the same studio at the same time. Because of the time frame involved, was that the case with this episode where you had Justy Machado, Rita Moreno, all the cast, plus the guest stars all together to record the episode?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, this is, again, something that we're dealing with very unusual circumstances, and we had to find someone. Our post-production supervisor, Sandy Hockman, who's been with us for all four seasons, really did her homework. And to be able to find a sound person, a sound engineer who could actually go to these individual homes when needed of the actor, or in some cases we shipped the equipment to the actor, making sure everything was very clean and sanitized, and then walk them through on a Zoom session how to set up the equipment, and then once they set it up, we walked them through and essentially directed them. You know, we had our director, Phil Lewis, who was on every Zoom session, listening to their takes, as well as myself and Mike Royce and Gloria Calderon-Kellett, watching the actors do what they needed to do for voiceover. So we handled each one individually via Zoom.
And incidentally, for those who don't know, there are some very special people who are guest stars on this episode. How fast did they come aboard, and did the same process happen for them as well as for the main cast?
Yes, the same process. Everybody from Melissa Fumero, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and Gloria Estevan all, you know, recorded independently. And they got involved because they care about the show, and they care about, you know, the topics that we're discussing, and they love the fact that we were able to keep the show going at a time when, you know, most shows completely stopped. And we were trying to figure a way that was very innovative and didn't feel like, you know, something that everybody was experiencing, and how could we do it in a way that felt fresh, but still keep them involved, and they were all more than willing.
For those who don't know, Gloria recorded the famous theme song, This Is It, which, of course, is a One Day at a Time's classic theme. Is this the first time that she has appeared in either live-action or animated form on the series, beyond just singing the theme song?
No, we had her in the very first episode of Season 3, is where you meet our Cuban relatives from Miami, and it was an episode I think called The Funeral, and she appeared first then, and we had such a good time. She had such a good time, and we really were eager to bring her back, as well as Melissa Fumero, who, you know, plays her daughter, and this episode was something that Mike and Gloria had written, and were always intending to bring them back in some way, and they love that they could come back and participate in an animated way.
Mm-hmm.
Literally and figuratively.
And how do they enjoy the experience of seeing their characters in toon form?
I haven't heard any complaints. I can say that. I think everybody, I mean, I don't know if you saw Rita Moreno this morning talking on CBS Morning show, but she She made it very clear. They did me right.
Good for her. Good for her. By the way, Rito was last year's Career Achievement Award winner at the Peabody Awards. I had a chance to meet her in New York along with her daughter. It was a fantastic experience, and I'm so thrilled that her performance is getting more and more lauded and more full by the year. And I still hope that there's going to be a supporting actress nomination for her this year for the Emmys, no matter how they show up in live or virtual form.
You and me as well. I mean, we have a love for Rita. I mean, as most America, if not the world. But you know, so much so that Norman and I had produced a documentary on Norman several years ago. I think when he, you know, participated on your show called Just Another Version of You, and Rita loved it. And I had approached her and said, "Hey, it's time for your story to be told. Can we tell it, Norman and I?" And she agreed. So we are in post-production because that, too, got postponed for a minute. But we are in post-production in our final stages of making American Masters film on Rita Moreno, which I can't wait for you to see because I think you're going to love it.
Absolutely. She is one of the great treasures of American entertainment. And doing as strong as ever through one day at a time. Now, the other big thing about this episode is we have Lin-Manuel Miranda in a very rare animation appearance. You know, we've seen him live in all sorts of different venues, particularly lately because of all the specials that have been going on, the virtual specials raising charity money for coronavirus charities around the country. What role does he play animated in this episode?
Lin is playing our uncle, our Tio, who I don't want to give too much because it's a fun role. It's a fun little surprise of a cameo that he plays. But, you know, he's been a big fan of the show and very supportive throughout. So we were eager to ask him if he'd want to participate, and he graciously said absolutely.
One Day at a Time's first ever animated episode is tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m. East Pacific Time on Pop TV. And we've got Brett Miller, the executive producer from the show, who worked on this episode. He is live with us from Palm Desert, California this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Find out I'm with you live from the other side of the U.S. of A., New York, 72 degrees at the top of the hour. Absolutely beautiful day. We're in week two of phase one of the reopening, retransformation, et cetera, of our fair city from the coronavirus pandemic. And we are doing our best to lick it. Keep up, New York. We're on the road. If you have a question or comment or remaining minutes with Brent, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up in our next half hour, one of our popular features is back. The classic trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer, you can win the book that provoked the excellent award-winning miniseries from last year, A Very English Scandal, starring Hugh Grant and Ben Whishaw, who, by the way, will be in a new AMC miniseries next year, co-produced by the BBC. So if you want to get the original book by John Preston, stay tuned. We'll give you the classic trivia question, and we'll tell you what to do so that maybe you can be our first new winner of the with this particular classic trivia question segment. Before the pandemic, how have things been going with the fourth season of One Day?
Before, I mean, it was going very well. But, you know, I want to add, because I heard in the break after we finished our last segment that you had mentioned Pop TV, but we should also let everybody and all of your listeners know that it's going to be broadcast simultaneously on TV Land. So I just want to give everybody the heads up that if they can't find Pop TV and they have TV Land, they should tune in for that as well. But
at the same time, 9:30.
Exactly. To your point on how things were going prior to us getting shut down, they were going amazing. I mean, as you know, this is a show that is like the little engine that could. We had our first three seasons on Netflix and became the first show on a streaming service to be rescued by more of a traditional broadcast network, and we couldn't have been more excited to come back after a year of being away. And I think if you've watched the first six episodes, you know, my personal favorite was the third episode, is something that, you know, you've never seen before, or at least I've never seen in a multicam, with having, you know, masturbation be the topic, but not of your child, but of the parents. I thought was quite brilliant of Gloria Calderon Kellett to suggest.
last week, Governor Gavin Newsom of California and Mayor Eric Garcetti of Los Angeles gave the green light for TV and film producers to resume production or start production under guidelines that apparently have been passed by the government officials from both statewide and citywide. Is there any word as to when one day we'll go back into production under these guidelines?
We are unclear as to an actual date of when that will happen. We're all remaining hopeful and optimistic, but as you know, we do shoot in front of a live audience. So I know that that has to be addressed because it doesn't look like a live audience is going to come back anytime soon under those guidelines. I know there's a lot of conversation that continues to happen about how we might be able to make that happen. And most importantly, our actors. And, you know, we have two people, Rita and Norman, who are both well over, you know, the concern of being 65 or 70. I don't remember the specific age, but you know, they're some of the most precious, you know, American heroes that we need to protect, and we don't want to take any risks in exposing them to anything. So we are going to be very careful as to when we go back, and we just want to make sure it's safe for everybody.
Rick, we have our friend from Philadelphia, whose birthday it is today, is on the line. Rick, welcome in. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Simon. Hey, Brett, I'm wondering about whether doing this show animated doubled the cost of the show, tripled the cost of the show, and, like, what you learned from having to do this animated, whether this was your first animated project or not.
That's a good question. You know, obviously, if it were to double the cost, we probably wouldn't have been greenlit. So it was a situation that worked in the budget that had been designated by Pop TV and Sony Studios, who we work with. And because all those numbers aligned, we were able to move forward with it. And we were so grateful for that experience. It was my first animated episode of television, and it just so happened that while that was happening, simultaneously, we were pitching another idea that is a animated series. And we can't yet announce it, but I can tell you that we were successful in selling of that series, and we're eager to let everybody know what that will be.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. I'm definitely going to check this out and continue success with the show.
Thank you, and happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thanks, Simon.
You're very welcome, Rick. And again, from all of us, a very happy B-Day down there in Philly.
Thank you. Take care.
Rick, we have our friend from Philadelphia. Birthday day today, where he is, home of the Liberty Bell, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. When you do go back into production, what are some of the plot lines that we can expect the rest of year four?
Well, it's you know, there's obviously going to be some conversation on the Justina, or I should say the Penelope Max relationship. We will see where that goes. Also, we ended things with Elena and her girlfriend Sid, and kept that at a place of, you know, there is the talk of college and. Is she going to go away to college? Is she going to stay home? Like we might have that conversation and how that works in young relationships. As you know, our son, Marcel Ruiz, he too is experiencing a relationship right now. So I'm sure we'll explore that a bit more. As you know, Schneider and Avery announced that they're pregnant. So we will continue that story. I mean, it's pretty much everything that has been set up, we will ultimately probably conclude.
One Day at a Time's first ever animated episode with Luis Manuel Miranda and Gloria Estefan among the guest stars happens tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Pop TV, simulcast at the same time on TV Land. Check your local news for where both channels are available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, you go to www.poptv.com, that's www.poptv.com. And if you want to catch our wonderful interviews that we did, one with Norman Lear and the other with the creators of this new version of One Day, now in year four, Gloria Calderon Keller and Mike Rice, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com. press televised. You will be well rewarded. Brent, thank you so much for coming on. All the very best to everybody involved for a great animated episode tomorrow night, and hopefully a continued great run with One Day at a Time. And all the best to Norman, Gloria, Mike, everybody involved.
Thank you, Simon.
You're very welcome, Brent. Take care. All the greatest.
All right. Bye-bye.
Brent Miller from One Day at a Time joining us live from Palm Desert, California. More tomorrow night televised coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're a fan of Oprah's book club, you want to know that you can hear her wonderful selections if you become a subscriber to Audible.com. And that includes the latest selection of the book club. It's called American Dirt by Jeanine Cummins. And it's a very unusual tale. Yes, it involves the world of drug cartels, but not in the way you expect. American Dirt by Jeanine Cummins. And that is one of the books you can order right now through a trial run, 1 month trial run with Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, all sorts of categories, all sorts of audiobooks, and you can listen to them from any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, or iHeartRadio. And all you have to do is just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get not one, not two, but three audiobooks. Two of them, Audible Originals, that's the growing catalog of original radio productions, audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and tremendous one-woman and one-man performances. And it's all available for a one-month trial, plus you get great customer service from Audible parent, Amazon.com. So how about having this week be the week that you discover how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? And it also makes a great gift any time of the year for you or someone you know. Remember, all you got to do for that one-month trial is audibletrial.com/televised. This is Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. We are the program all about the tube, where it's at and where it's going. And we're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And we're also available on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And if you want to catch up on episodes you missed, including the one that we did on Friday, which included some really terrific interviews, including one with the head of Food Network Kitchen, Tyler Wentworth, the co-creators of a very interesting Netflix series, one-season deal called The Healing Power of Dude, Powers of Dude, Emily Faith and Sam Lindberg-Weisberg, and Robert Allen from the very interesting smart TV service Alive X Live, and we're getting a lot of feedback about that segment. Go to our homepage anytime. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, 24/7, we're available on podcasts at iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, TuneIn.com, and iHeartRadio.com. When it comes to those last two destinations on the web, that's TuneInRadio.com or TuneIn.com and iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Will Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you get our episodes right then and there. And don't forget, we also have a Twitter feed that's available at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. We post tweets on the latest television news, and when something like the Emmys or the Oscars or Grammys going on, we give you up-to-date bulletins on what is happening. So check it out anytime you like. It's Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Coming up in our next half hour, one of our most popular features is back, the classic trivia question of the week. Stand by, we've got a prize in play. You'll hear the question and the prize and what you do to be in for the win. And also, have you heard about the newest TV trend, the cancel culture? Well, before I say something about it, I'd like to hear what you have to say about it. So stay tuned, and we'll give you the opportunity. So stand by. More Tomorrow We Televise coming away after you pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Together, reaching over 45 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, TuneIn Radio is your home 24/7 for the coronavirus news channel. Get the latest pandemic news from all over the world, plus original podcasts and much, much more. The coronavirus news channel 24/7 exclusively on TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Finally, I'm back with you live from New Webby, York, where it is 72 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Happy to have you with us. And right now, it's time to bring back a feature that's been one of the most popular in the last couple of years. We had to suspend it because the coronavirus pandemic impacted with our way to get the prizes out to people. But it is back. the classic trivia question of the week. And here's the way it works. We pose the question. If you know the answer, you email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you are first with the correct answer, you win a prize. In this case, it's the book that paved the way for the award-winning miniseries A Very English Scandal, starring Hugh Grant and Ben Westlaw. Ben, by the way, will be appearing in a brand-new miniseries that will be running next year on AMC, co-produced by BBC. So, the book is by John Preston. It's published by Other Press. And you can get it right now if you know the answer to our first new classic trivia question. In the 1980s syndicated series Superboy, who played Superboy? In the 1980s syndicated series Superboy, who played Superboy? The series ran in syndication from 1988 to 1992, and there actually were two people who played that character in the course of the show's run. One more time, the question. In the 1980s syndicated series Superboy, who played Superboy? There's two possible answers. We'll take one or the other or both. And if you know either or both answers, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple, that's all one phrase, 04@yahoo.com. Remember, when you email, you enclose your name and where you're emailing from, your full address. So if you win the prize, we can get it to you immediately. So again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Once again, please enclose your full name and where you're emailing from, the full address, your full name and address. Also, if you have won before, let somebody else win. Let's get more people in on the opportunity to win, okay? And, by the way, if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on our Facebook page, that's Simon Applebaum on Facebook.com, and on our Twitter feed at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. And if you do, you'll win the book, A Very English Scandal, that provoked the award-winning miniseries starring Hugh Grant and Ben Whitlaw. The book is by John Preston. It's published by Other Press. And you can get it if you are our first new winner of our classic trivia question feature. So it's great to have it back. And thank you to the powers that be at the stationery store that is once again open in my neighborhood in Nueva York, which can allow me to get the envelope so we can get our prizes to you. All right? One more time, let's give you that question. In the 1980 syndicated series Superboy, who played Superboy? Remember, there were two people that played in the course of the four seasons of that series. We'll take either one or we'll take both for the answer. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. If you've been checking out TV lately or reading the news lately, here are a number of situations that have popped up in the last week. Item: Paramount Network cancels a new season of Cops, the long-running television series that began 31 years ago on Fox. Item: 48 hours later, Live PD, the most popular program on A&E's schedule, is canceled. Out. Goodbye. Item number three: HBO Max decides to pull Gone with the Wind from its lineup of films. Says it will come back only if it has a disclaimer or if there's some sort of discussion about the context of this award-winning movie. An item: Nickelodeon may be considering taking off its popular Nick Jr. series, Paw Patrol, because of all the concern over the protests about police brutality and police reform and so on and so forth happening all over the country and around the world. Now, if you listen carefully to what I just said, you may get a line, a connecting line, that goes through all four of these topics. And here's the connecting line. It's called cancel culture. That's C-A-N-C-E-L culture. What does that mean? Simply put, it's jumping to conclusions to cancel a program because of the outside environment. Not because certain people said, we want this show to go off the air. Not because sponsors have boycotted the show saying we want it to go off the air. It's simply because, oh my God, the environment's the way it is. We're jumping to conclusions, and we're canceling the show. Never mind the opportunity to maybe talk to the producers, see if something can be done to maybe modify the tone of the show or make it more palatable to the public, we're just canceling it, period, boom, gone. Now, I have some definite thoughts about what has been happening this last week with these specific cancel culture developments. But before I go into something, I want to hear what you have to say about this. What do you think about the fact that just like that, cops get canceled? Just like that, Live PD gets canceled? Just like that, there's a controversy over Nickelodeon's Paw Patrol, an animated series that is one of the most popular on television, on any network. And just like that, HBO Max says, well, we're canceling Gone with the Wind. We won't bring it back until we put a disclaimer on or something attached to it. What do you think about this? Well, I want to give you a couple of minutes, if you like, to call in and give us your thoughts. Whatever your thoughts are, they're welcome. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Rick Webb from Philadelphia, whose birthday we celebrate in our first half hour. If you want to call back in, we'd love to hear what you have to say. And also, if you don't want to say it today, email me. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Let me know what you think. And on Friday's episode, if we get some feedback, well, we'll share it with all of you, our listeners. So, again, what do you think? What do you think of this new idea of cancel culture? Is it really worth it to do it? Is there a better thing than this? Is this going to become a permanent part of television and how you watch or not able to watch it? Let me hear from you. 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And while we wait to see if we get anybody on the phone or anybody in the chat room, I want to again let you know that Friday on Smart Be Told Live, one of my favorite guests in the world of journalism covering television will be with us again, Joan Salzman. She's the senior reporter for technology and media for CNETnews.com. And I know she is prepping up for the digital content New Fronts that will be happening here in New York by way of virtual technology all next week. And we'll have her on talk about that, about the mega programming services, and what's happening with HBO Max, with Apple TV Plus, with Disney Plus, et cetera, with new services on smart TV sets and smart devices, and a whole lot more. Joan Salzman from CNETnews.com, one of our guests Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And Rick Webb has just rejoined us. So, Rick, once again, happy birthday to you. And what do you think about this cancel culture that's popping up?
Well, it's very complicated, but I mean, it happens obviously more than just even television and movies. It's even happening with army bases right now, where a paradigm shifts, and all of a sudden they decide, okay, we're going to rename all these different bases that were named after Confederate generals. So, sometimes shifts happen, and I think, like, specifically with cops, I'm sure that they investigated whether sponsors were going to stay on or not or abandon the show. I think that probably has a lot to do with everything. If a few big sponsors said, you know, we're not going to support the show anymore, it's just a little too hot for us, well, then you're done. It's just that easy. Or if the insurance quadruples, or the insurer decides they're not going to cover the show anymore because it's a little too hot a topic, then again, like you could be done right then and there. So it's a little bit deeper than, like, just the audience cancels everybody. You can also get your insurance canceled, or your sponsors can cancel as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing, Rick, that a show like Cops, which has had a great run on television, it was one of the first unscripted shows to make it through Fox, and then went on Spike TV and then Paramount Network for 31 years, started in 1989. But it's another thing that a show like Live PD, which is a show that presents in live real time what cops go through, what police go through, whether they do the right thing or the wrong thing, and there is policemen on the scene or policemen in the studio to talk about it with the host Dan Abrams. A program that 2 months ago A&E had renewed for 100 episodes, it's their top show. What's striking is that they canceled this show 48 hours after the cops' decision, And apparently they did it without even talking to Dan Abrams, the Big Fish, the MGM division that produces the show, to say, hey, look, what can we do about this to – I mean, nobody was calling – it was interesting to me. Nobody was calling for the show to get canceled. No advertiser was saying we're going to boycott this program in the wake of what's going on with the protests. And then on top of that, I didn't mention this earlier, is that Viacom CBS, VH1, has now canceled all the shows – on their service, Love and Hip Hop, Black Ink Crew, that are being produced by Big Fish. So it's sort of like you're damned by being in the same boat. So Viacom CBS is now saying, we'll keep these shows going, but Big Fish is not going to be involved because of the live PD event. So it's another example of cancel culture.
Wow. Wow. I wasn't aware of all that, but wow. I'm sure there's more to the story, but I don't know. It's just amazing how fast certain reactions come in, and somebody just wields a big stick and, like you said, just cancels you. It's amazing.
Yeah. One more thing. Do you find it? What do you think about this thing with Nickelodeon Paw Patrol? I mean, this is a series that is very popular on Nick Jr. It's very. The whole idea of the show is it tries to present these animals that are, you know, trying to do the right thing. It's trying to showcase values. That we all can live by, the kids can live by, and that some organization is now saying, well, in the wake of all this, it's got to be canceled.
I think that one's a little bit ridiculous for children. I think it's more adults overthinking the situation. I mean, the only thing that I can really think of is that it does set them up for certain memes, maybe. Certain like comedians and whatnot could use the Paw Patrol puppy dog, the little German Shepherd, with some kind of memes or in certain political ways or something. That's really the only thing I can think of. But I haven't seen anything like that. And I think it's a real shame for children who do love the show.
Yeah. One other thing, Rick, before I let you go, I don't know if you heard this, but a week ago Friday, Top Five, the Hollywood Reporter podcast with Leslie Goldberg and Daniel Feinberg, did a terrific interview with Warren Lane, the executive producer of Law & Order Special Victims Unit. And it was done on the fly, and the tone of it is, Warren, how is your show going to portray cops, what Special Victims Unit does in the wake of this whole issue over police reform and people saying either defund the police, downgrade the police, eliminate police forces, et cetera. It was interesting to hear Warren talk about it. And by the way, everybody should listen to this. It was a great interview that was done by Leslie Goldberg and Daniel Feinberg from Hollywood Reporter on this, and it's still available on their website. But I just think it's interesting that now I'm just curious how all these police procedurals, when they decide to go back into production, or in some cases start production, how their depiction of police are going to be dictated.
Yeah, I think some of it's going to be star-driven, I believe, because looking at certain people like a Mark Wahlberg that plays a sometimes violent cop on TV on Blue Bloods, I could see him saying, you know what, I kind of want to tone this down. I kind of want to, like, because, you know, sometimes it comes in fist-defying on that show. And so I think some of it's going to be star-driven. I think some stars may just walk away even, or even request that certain movies from the past aren't, you know, just trying to change their image or protect their income, essentially, protect their image. So I don't know, but I definitely want to check out that Hollywood Reporter interview that you just mentioned. I definitely want to check that out.
Yeah, Warren, by the way, was on our show twice. Once with SVU his first time around several years ago, and the second when he did a great boxing drama for FX called Lights Out, Rick. But do see it. Yeah, do hear it. It's on TV's Top 5. It comes out every Friday morning at the Hollywood Reporter's website, hollywoodreporter.com. Really, really well worth it. And it'll be interesting to see what Marissa Hargitay, who is also one of the executive producers of the show, of Loner SVU, what they decide to do and how her character is going to evolve, as well as the other characters portrayed by Peter Schiavino and Kelly Giddish, et cetera, with the whole cast and crew of that series, and what the writing team does with that. And Rick, again, happy birthday. Thank you for being part of the program. I'm thrilled we were able to celebrate the birthday this way.
Oh, thank you, Simon. Thank you, and keep up the great work.
All right, will do. Take care now, and happy B-Day.
Thanks.
Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, here on Tomorrow We Tell a Lie. Thank you again, Rick, for your thoughts. And again, we would love to hear you. What do you think about this idea of cancel culture? Is it going to get out of hand? How is this going to impact television here on in, whenever, no matter what the subject matter is, whether it's racism or how police handle with society, et cetera, et cetera? I'd love to hear from you. So we're about to wrap things up for today. But during the week, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. I'd love to hear what you have to say, and we'll do a follow-up. If we get any feedback, we'll do a follow-up on Friday's episode. All right? And one more time before we go, let's give you the classic trivia question. We are so happy that this feature is back because in its run, we've had a lot of great winners from all over the country, a couple from Canada. We had one from overseas, too. So once again, here's our first new classic trivia question of this run. In the 1980s syndicated series Superboy, who played Superboy? In the 1980s syndicated series Superboy, who played Superboy? Two people did. The series ran in syndication from 1988 to 1992. Two people played. We'll take one or the other answer. We'll take both. Remember, in order to win, be in. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And remember, when you email, and that's how we get the answer, it's by email, not by Facebook or Twitter, make sure that you put your phone name down and your full mailing address. And once again, our first prize in our new set of questions, A Very English Scandal, the book by John Preston that set off the award-winning miniseries starring Hugh Grant and Ben Whishaw, who will be in a brand-new series for AMC coming out in 2021, co-produced by AMC and the BBC. All right? All right. Again, thank you to Brandon Miller from One Day at a Time for joining us today. And I also, again, congratulate Norman Lear and Gloria Calderon-Keller and Mike Royce and Justine Machado and Rita Moreno, everybody involved in the cast and crew of that series. And hopefully it will go back into production very, very soon. But again, One Day at a Time, the politics episode, first ever animated episode of that series, now in its fourth year, live on Pop TV and TV Land, simulcast live, I should say, on Pop TV and TV Land tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. For more details online, poptv.com. Finally on Tomorrow We Tell a Lie, Joan Selzman, the senior reporter for technology media at CNetNews.com, will prepare you for the 2020 digital content newsfront taking place here in New York next week. We'll get her thoughts about the megaphoning scene and a whole lot more. Joan Selzman from CNET, live with us, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow We Tell a Lie. And next Monday, because of the digital content newsfront, we'll be with you at a later time, either 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's 2 or 3 p.m. Pacific. We'll let you know on Friday's episode what the exact time will be. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, anytime you like between now and Friday, check out our podcasts. They're available anytime you like on iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker's podcast app, TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. And remember, that email, simonapple04@yahoo.com, is not only your way to participate in our classroom question of the week, you can also participate in our regular feature, A Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention? We want to give it that attention, but we need to know from you what that show is and where it is playing. So email me, and if we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And I do, by the way, respond to that email within 24 hours. So use it to let us know what you think about the show, about our guests, our topics, and where you think TV is at and where it's headed. You also find me on social media. Find me on Facebook at Simon Applebaum and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. However you communicate with us, we do communicate back. And it's a very simple reason why. What you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate BTR is Mandolin. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio General Manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, Head of Content. The co-founders of this enterprise are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For 3 free audiobooks, 2 of them Audible Originals and 1 month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week. If you're in the New York area or anywhere else in the U.S. of A., please do your part to lift this pandemic once and forever. Wear that mask, social distancing, please, let's make it happen. It can happen, and now is the time to do it. We'll be back with you on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And once again, whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe and make it great. And now more than ever, let's lick this pandemic all over the place. Until the next time, stay well, stay tuned, and happy B-Day, Rick Webb, down in Philly.